Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. I am your motherfucking girl, that bitch, full court pumps, man, dizzle my nizzle, baby, Peg the Stallion, what's up?
I don't know all these names. I'm Melania Trump. Nice to see everybody again. Now we have another person in the room.
At this point, I feel like you have an obsession with her. You have done her accent about 3 or 4 times now.
Do you know why?
In the last month.
It's really good.
No bullshit. One of the side projects I'm working on, I'm writing where the person's an actor in the script I'm working on, and they do a lot of different voices. And my favorite one is
Melania.
Oh my God.
Y'all, she just said her favorite person is Melania Trump. Wait!
Tear it down.
Run it back. Y'all heard it
because
here, baby.
Her accent's so fun, and she's such a fun person to do because, like, as someone that, like, everybody's, like, talking about, oh, my God, First Lady, she's so classy. Remember that picture with her finger in
the I was
pussy?
About to say.
Yeah, she's not classy.
Not that classy,
I don't think
actually.
Anybody ever used that word.
Oh, yes, they do.
Do they?
If you go to MAGA Twitter, which I love clicking on the hashtag because I like to see how racist people are, because when I get bored, I'm like, let me talk to them. All of them be like, look at our gorgeous lady. She's so this. Look how she carries herself. And I just really want to throw her WAP on top of that.
Yeah. Well, if you want to randomly curse out a MAGA Twitter and racist, I want to go ahead and curse out the whore hive, bitches. I'm going to sit here and tell y'all to get the fuck off my taken ass pussy. Because
apparently
y'all are upset that a bitch found love in a hard place. Or
are you saying I love you yet?
No, bitch, because he's an Aquarius, and apparently I've
heard
about
that
shit.
We don't fuck with them.
Listen, y'all know I don't do the stars and moons, but I heard Aquarius people don't really show or tell their emotions very
or tell the truth.
I think he tell the truth. He's just one of those where he's like, you know how I feel because I show you how I feel. And so okay. I think if I say I love you, I don't think I'm going
to
get it back.
To
so
be fair, old days in Aquarius. And our relationship birthed from a fight. Like, I was like, oh, nigga, I'm down with your ass, right?
We haven't fought yet.
And this was that's about six.
You wait for that.
Is that
wait,
when
wait, wait
that's
for
when
the
love
fight.
Comes out.
Wait for
at
the
least
fight.
With them niggas.
All right. See, I don't want to keep
pushing
this toxic
narrative. But honestly,
narrative.
It's not toxic because sometimes people need to lose it to, bro, it was 24 hours. It happened when we were in Detroit.
Oh, wow.
We were in Detroit, and I was, like, so depressed because it was this huge fight. That nigga called me and he was like, I cannot live my life without you. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm in love with you. Da 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 da. He was like, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking.
But see, that's
I
what
was
I'm
like,
saying.
Yeah, that's funny that you say all these things because when we like refer back to page
she's
16.
She's not letting it go.
Now I can recall you just saying we're talking, we're kicking it. Even though we're meeting families and doing Thanksgiving-y thingies and you're talking about how we're not like,
oh, yeah,
are we not
nah.
together? You know you my girl. You
wait,
know I fucking
this,
love this, you.
Wait a second. How did my rant turn into your rant? Let me finish.
Because niggas ain't shit.
You know what I mean? How she just want to take over my rant about her nigga?
I was very pulled in too. I was like, damn, Thanksgiving.
Mind you.
Bitch, she hit that trigger Aquarius button.
For the running time of this podcast, Weezy has had her boyfriends along the way. This is my first one.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And mind you, we had our Patreon recording and motherfucking Siggy hopped on there and was like, can we get single Mandy back? Because I don't know if I like this new Mandy bitch. And I'm like,
you on some other shit?
Listen, but I'm not. I want. I think I go to the sex club.
You're still on some other shit, bitch.
But no, here's the thing. You can be slutted out with your nigga. And when we get to the motherfucking hors d'oeuvre, all my hors d'oeuvres lately that y'all been rocking with, the motherfucking beet juice and all this little other shit, come from my niggas.
I don't think that's the issue.
What is the issue, bro?
I think the issue
go ahead
hands.
And tell me your issue. What's your
it's
issue?
It's about to be
bitch?
Her issue, what?
No, I think that it's because it has always been an opposing side. Like, Mandy's been single Mandy, fuck relationship Mandy, whatever. And now people don't know what to do. Because what's happening is it's almost like the person that they knew.
I'm still here.
No, but that's a real thing. That's a real thing. Because celebrities, a lot of them, like, when they're known as, like, heartthrobs and all that stuff, they stay single. Or they're single publicly when they're really in a relationship.
Yes,
privately,
it's the person
because,
they think they know.
Because their fan base is not going to want them if they're in a relationship.
It's not the sex stories. It's the attitude.
Right.
Right?
So they want the fantasy.
Oh, y'all don't want me happy then.
They like the fantasy of you.
Bitch, you were always talking about, I don't need a nigga. I'm happy. Fuck these niggas. I don't need shit.
Real ass bitch give a fuck about a nigga.
I'm always a real ass bitch give a fuck about a nigga.
You have went off on this show about people that fucking post relationships.
But that's the thing. I have not posted me and my nigga.
As it
but you
be.
Like talk not, about him nonstop, and you posted him on Patreon.
I mean, but
so
I,
now you
I,
see
not
that
really, I get, I ain't really
abstract.
Posting
it was
him,
an abstract.
You
know, but
it's now you see like when you have someone that you want to like celebrate, and you feel like it's you can't, you almost can't stop. Like you want to share
first
it.
Off,
it's like when something good happens to you, like. You, it's not even like a flexing type of thing. In my opinion, I don't think people can show off about their relationships. I believe people just want to share.
But that's what
things.
I'm talking about. I want to say fuck the whore hive because I feel like they didn't want me to be happy. Y'all really just wanted me to be a single hoe, fucking
that,
married niggas forever.
Shit that you were saying.
I'm about to be 30 and y'all still want me to be fucking off on married niggas forever.
It's just that shit you were saying does not equate with what's
but
happening.
But I'm still eating booty. I'm still getting fucked in the ass. I'm still going to sex clubs. Well, we had a whole 8-person orgy that I shared with Patreon. So y'all, I am still out here getting slutted the
man.
Fuck out by my nigga.
I think
that's
everyone's
man,
fine
think.
With
you
being
oh,
deep
so
in
happy.
His asshole eating it. Man. I think everybody is okay with that.
Bitch, he bent over on all fours. The last time we went to the sex club, it said eat Yo. My ass. I ate his ass and then I fucked a guy while my whole face was in his booty hole.
Woof. Okay.
Well, on
so,
that note.
You know what I mean? Anyways, guys, and you, Weezy, do you, well, you included in my rant, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce y'all. We have a third person joining us today. I'm super excited to have this conversation. We is joined by Red.
What's up,
That's
up?
That's with two Ds.
Why Red? Because you ain't Red.
Right, everybody says that. Everybody says that. This is something that spans back to when I first started modeling. And basically, nobody knew who I was. I was very new to the scene. We were doing this fashion show. I had on all red. And I didn't know what to do. And so people just started referencing me by the color because I started
That's
referencing.
That's what they do in the South.
Right. So,
hey, polka dots.
Yeah, I'm from Texas, so Dallas. Yeah.
That's what they do in the South. Niggas.
Yeah.
Wait, so, you don't like when niggas be like, hey, red shirt? No.
No, because it started because I started.
Like, hey, bleach blonde.
Elliot, hey, don't do that. Don't do that, bitch. Don't do that.
No, it started because I started calling this girl Keys because she had her keys on, and while she was doing her walk, that's all was jingling the whole time.
Come
so
on, jingling.
I was calling her Keys, and she was calling me Red. People were trying to find me, so
Black
it's kind of caught
really,
on.
We don't give a damn.
We will make up anything.
What's your name?
And make it relevant.
Hey, gray shorts.
And everybody can have gray shorts on, but you know who they talking about.
Sure do.
So I was going to say, I'm excited, guys, because we are about to have, dive into, during the horrible decision, a conversation on bisexuality, specifically in the Black community. And so Red is here to join us in that conversation. And I'm super excited. I got some questions from our audience on Instagram, but also Weezy and I have wanted to have this conversation for so long. And so I'm really glad to be having this with you.
Also, this really stemmed from us asking for a bi guy to come on because of the whole Jeffree Star thing with people either saying like, oh, how? Because he looks masked or why? Mm. Or it can't be true. And it's all of that shit that we thought about, right? Like we've been seeing it, I think, in media and pop culture, whether it be I May Destroy You or Insecure. And especially us talking about like bi fantasies or MMF bi threesome specifically.
Oh, and that's the thing, especially with me. Again, I joked to Peg the Stallion is my mm-hmm. nickname early on. Of course, I think we brought it up in episode 2 that pegging was something that I enjoyed. And that's been a common question because a lot of the men that I've done this to do identify as straight. Mm. So even the conversation of your masculinity and your heteronormal, like your heterosexuality being in your Buddha hole.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that later on.
But you know, I want to just say very quickly that I really appreciate you saying that we could ask you whatever you want because it's just on my mind and once I say it, I'm done.
Okay.
Who do you give better head to? What do you think you're better at?
You see how we starting already?
What's more difficult?
I love that. I think personally I'm better at sucking dick.
Sucking dick is so much easier.
It's easy.
It's easier.
Sucking dick.
I'm really good at eating pussy too,
one.
But like.
Because I feel,
I would say that. And I would say I think men suck better dick than women.
Oh.
Because we have it and we know what we want done to it, and so we know how to replicate that on another person.
I don't have a dick, but I feel like I do it way better than you.
No, now that's some women that got that throat like game on lock.
We're the throat queens.
Yeah. But a lot of people throat like masters. A lot of women don't know how to like suck dick properly.
So here's the
it's
thing:
like they
too.
Watching too much porn.
But not
to
only the
out.
Porn, a lot of women that we've even had on as guests of the show, they don't enjoy sucking dick. Mm. So I feel like in order to be a good dick sucker,
you, gotta
you
like
have to
shit.
Enjoy doing it.
Is it because of the stigma though? Like of like oh, that being dirty? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do have a question for you.
How
some...
are you asking the questions already?
This is about he is a dick.
But you know I have an outline.
The outline. This is a really embarrassing story that I haven't been wanting to tell on the podcast because I can't believe it because I'm so ashamed. But I have to tell it because
tell
I just want you guys to know, don't doubt me. His dick is huge. Please understand. As my mother said, she knows it's genetic. I'm top five dick sucker. Old Bay called me top three. Okay. I think it really means number one, but he don't want to tell me. And that, what's it called? Lover boy too. So hospital dick, you've heard me talk about. We recently had a conversation.
Oh, you better fucking him, bitch.
No, bitch.
Ooh,
we had a conversation.
Hold on. This nigga put you in the hospital?
See, she said we had a conversation.
He didn't put me in the hospital,
with
right?
With that dick in your mouth.
Right. The mic was too close.
So we started talking about dick sucking and about how he know, like, his dick is huge, right? Particularly, like, the girth.
I want to know what's huge to y'all, though. Because I think women have a different idea of what huge
hospital
is.
Hospital dick, nigga. Women. Take it like that.
He literally put a bitch in a hospital. What is
okay.
it?
Two.
Fair.
So,
fair.
Tilted uterus.
Yeah.
Here's the issue. He said to me that I cut his dick before. I was like, why wouldn't you tell me that I cut your dick with my teeth?
With teeth.
And I know they're big.
It's because you got an overbite.
No, he was like, I was like, have you always been feeling under?
It's the
he said he always feels teeth. I'm like, with me? He's like, everybody. He's like, it takes a special type of person to not feel their teeth. And he's like, so I don't say anything. I'm like, well, what does it feel like? He's like, it just felt like nails. He never told me this when I was fucking with him.
Right.
Yeah. And I was in shock. He's like, because I know you love to do it and you good. It feels good. He's like, but yeah.
That
it
could
always,
break somebody.
Oh, Weezy
that
was
could,
out I'm here a, biting dick, bro. Y'all.
I was so embarrassed, man. He said that he went to the
choppers.
Bathroom. There was blood, bitch. He
said shut the fuck.
Bleed.
All right. If you make
right.
me bleed, I, we might not
but
be doing this
I
no more.
We about to demote you to top 10.
Right. We might have to.
I want to tell you guys.
We gonna say it was a bad day.
But he said everybody sucked his dick and he felt teeth. It's
but did
too
they
big,
all
dog.
Make her bleed? Like make him bleed?
He said other bitches come.
So I ain't gonna hold you. I put King Noir's mold in my mouth. I couldn't get past the head. So that's why I was like, thank God we ain't never did nothing.
I will just tell you, it's a little bit smaller than King Noir. It's King Noir-ish.
King Noir-ish.
I know, I've had it in my hand.
That nigga's dick is ginormous.
So
this is a big dick to me. Like that.
Yeah, when you can't actually
when
touch
you
your
can't
fingers.
Touch your fingers.
When you can't touch your fingers.
So, fellas.
Right?
That's
way
too. That's not a normal
that's
size.
Too big.
That's
no, he has a two-hand dick. And
so
honestly,
like
I was so upset.
But no, even that's too big.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Guys, okay, y'all are watching on the YouTube. This is the tester to know if you got a big old dick or not. And it's we're not even talking about length. We're talking about girth.
Niggas don't need to. Do you know when you got a big dick?
No, niggas don't. They be thinking. That's why that little gold rapper be bagging on their ass. So if you can't put your hand around your dick, if you put your hand around your dick and your fingers touch, your dick is like it's normal.
It's normal.
Yeah.
If a woman or you put your hand around your dick and there's a little gap between the fingers, that's when you know you got a big old dick.
So your teeth could hit it. I just want
to
say.
So now we about to normalize biting dick.
You need to do some like jaw exercises. Like,
I'm a legendary dick sucker though, dog. And when he told me that, I was so upset, bro. I had to text this nigga like, so how long did it take to heal? Like, what the fuck?
Where your trophies at?
Oh,
at the house.
He said. I'm dead. All right,
love
y'all.
So that.
We're going to go ahead and get into our vanilla shit, guys. And I am going to be inserting a clip because I recently posted it to our Horrible Decisions page. But little did you guys know, bisexuality has been in hip hop since forever. So we're going to go ahead and play the little clip now and just listen to all some of your top classics, your favorite rap artists, and the shit that they motherfucking say.
Take sacks to the face whenever I can. My managers walk out, we jerk men. Protected by niggas with big dicks, AKs, and 187 skills.
Let me tell you something, you might got more cash than me, but you ain't got the skills to eat a nigga's ass like me.
Bell groupies getting shaky when I come from the rear.
Fuck my dick. And all you niggas that been to jail before know that it's about to get thick.
Bangkok and Bangkok.
You look so good, huh? I suck on your daddy's dick.
I like to fuck him in the ass while he beat up the pussy.
Damn, I never had my dick sucked by a man before. But you gon' be the first, you little trick ass hoe.
All right, so there we go. That's what it was. I'm gonna do like, you know, the little fancy stuff at the end. But basically, I wanted to bring this up because there's a lot of, I don't want to say gay, I'll say bisexual because these are a lot of openly hetero men. But they put some sus stuff, I guess, in their rhymes. I also wanted to talk about how recently it's kind of been a trend for men, and specifically in the music industry, to come out as bisexual or gay. So we have Lil Nas X, of course. We have Frank Ocean, Tyler, the Creator. Yep. It's also been something with athletes recently coming out.
Who?
Michael Sam?
Yeah, Michael Sam.
Why? Right. Like I knew.
You ain't gonna know them niggas. Bitch, she said touchdown in basketball. She don't be knowing shit.
No, there's been a couple
both,
of people.
Bitch, both of them.
So it's been kind of trendy, kind of like you said. A lot of people just being more open with sharing their sexuality. So I wanted to know how that has kind of affected you. And do you feel like it is trendy and not genuine with people coming out about their sexualities in the music and media industry? What are your thoughts on kind of, again, this trend?
So I definitely feel like, I don't know if I would necessarily use trendy. I think it's definitely becoming a little more acceptable. And people are seeing an avenue where, like, oh, shit, I can get in and not get, like, crucified necessarily for telling my truth, whereas they've always had to hide that shit, you know? And so I think society makes it hard for people to just be authentically themselves. And because we have decided, you mess with a dude one time, you're gay. You mess with, you even think about this, you're gay. Everything you do that's not super hyper masculine is gay. And so people don't want to be labeled that if that's not their truth necessarily. Or even if it is, they don't want to be ostracized for it. And so now that it's, they're seeing people successfully come out and still have successful careers, they're jumping on.
Right.
You know?
And I think one of Frank Ocean's biggest songs, what was it? It was, I want to say it was Thinking About You, but one of them was about a man, and he was singing about a man, and it came out, and I mean, shit, people still listen to Frank Ocean, like, regularly.
Luther Vandross songs is about men.
Were they?
People not going to admit that, though. People not going to admit that to themselves.
I think there's even a lyric he has about him, holding him or something like that,
But it's also crazy because, well, if we go into all of that, y'all love a good Malcolm X, but Malcolm X was out here turning tricks in the Buddha holes. And that's when he was known as what, Red? He was known as Red.
He was bisexual.
Bisexual, and that's something, it's so crazy because
glow
you go
of love. Luther was gay as hell.
What? That's crazy. and the straights are out here getting married to him.
Because,
little do they know.
First of all, let's be clear. Gays just do everything right. Do they not?
Okay, let's. I'm listening.
Do you want me to go by the list?
I'm going with you. Let's
you can
go.
Let us know.
Take me down
this
journey.
Everything we are all wearing in this room, including the homophobic niggas walking down the street, was chosen for us by a gay man. Let's be real, dog.
I'm not going to lie. No. I am wearing this nigga, and he's questionable in all aspects.
Not to mention, that color orange. The fucking
you are not
going to
give
shirt.
Gaze color orange.
I am, bitch. Because there was gay the color
she's
orange.
She's about to give us
and
Devil Wears Prada.
And there was a gay nigga in the room that was like, we're not going with jailhouse orange. We're going to go with a little bit lighter.
Sunset orange.
Thank you, bitch.
Yo,
come on.
If this ain't the Devil Wears Prada. You think that blue is just something you...
I think that a lot of people don't give credit to all the things that are circling in their life that probably were influenced by somebody gay, not to mention music. You know what I mean?
It's specifically music. And like I said, even in the clip that I gave, oh my God, there's one where he says, he talks about doing it, but as long as it's in jail, it's not gay. But we learned it from jail to go from behind and just a whole bunch of gay shit.
That's the annoying part, too, about the jail thing. Desperation doesn't make you want to suck dick. You had it in you.
So can we have that conversation real quick? Because you the one who used to date drug dealers. So I know them niggas was in jail one time, and they probably sucked a little dick or had
or got their suck by a nigga.
I told y'all.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Tell me the jail story.
My friend used to date somebody in jail, and I ain't going to say his name. Because he known or whatever. But he said that when he was in jail, they would put pictures of their loved ones on the backs of the niggas that they would fuck. And so they wouldn't necessarily feel like they were fucking a guy, but just to feel that penetration.
Oh my, that's so ridiculous. Close your eyes, bro.
What do you mean close your eyes? I mean, they want to imagine they fucking their loved ones.
Well, I'd say that's fine. I mean, because, again, being gay or bi is not about the act. It's about, like, what you feel, what you like, what you're attracted to. Like, that's where it stems from. So, it's like, just because you fuck a nigga one time, like, that don't make you gay.
So,
like,
I just
if you
had
don't
a conversation
like
in the sex club about that. He listened to our episode, so I went to the sex club, and this guy was like, I have a bone to pick with you.
He who?
There was just a guy in the sex club. I'm not going to bring up his name. But he came to me and wanted to have the conversation about bisexuality because he identifies as bi, but he also is like, I would never be with a man, so I'm not fully bi. He says, just because a man fucks men, that doesn't make him bi if he wouldn't be romantically.
Oh, please. I also would never be with a Republican, bitch. Let's be real here.
So what does that mean?
That's just such an exhausting, like, I get so annoyed with that because people equate, like, I'll be with you as the standard to how gay you are. Mm. No, my nigga.
We gonna talk about that.
That's dumb to me. Like, yes, maybe you feel like there's something about a man that you don't see as ideal for you in a partner. You've made comments about not being with a woman, but you never equate it to, you've talked about, like, I see myself with a man. You'll see that. It's not like, oh, I'm not that gay because I won't be with a girl. Like, I just think that notion of it is strange.
It is.
They always separate that stuff, like romance and like sexual, like what you're actually doing, because I think there's something like biromantic and like there's all these different terms that they're coming out with. I don't know.
Bicurious.
It's just like,
this reminds me of those jocks.
You're on the road. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not totally hit with all the lingo, but I know I'm bisexual, and a lot of people want to say, why are you not pansexual? Why are you not?
Oh, we're going to talk, we're going to dig into it. It's all a lot. Like but also, like, we've talked about it so much, and we've had so many people come on here in the sex space who also just hated the labels altogether.
Yeah.
They didn't want to identify as either or. We talked about the Kinsey scale so much on this show, where there is a spectrum to where you may not fully align with bisexuality, but you may not be all the way gay, but you also may not be all the way straight.
That shit is exhausting. Yeah. I did something for Refinery29 for queer people, and in the clip that they posted of me, I was like, I'm pan, bi, ho, whatever. And some people wrote me like, I never heard you say pan before. I was like, I don't mean to use it as a joke, but like, nigga, all of them. Yes, right, I can understand me liking people for people, but also liking men because they're men and women for women. Like, what the fuck you want me to say?
Right.
That's an umbrella thing. Queer, too. Queer. It's all
super umbrella.
Yeah.
Super umbrella. So we are going to now get into our hors d'oeuvre. So go ahead and have your sex tip ready. So the hors d'oeuvre for you guys who are maybe watching us or listening to us for the very first time, our hors d'oeuvre segment is sex tips. So we do like to help y'all in the bedroom just a little bit.
Help.
And so this one comes from my nigga and me, since y'all wanna, no, I'm stop. But so this sex tip that I have for today is just literally using things that are around you for sex. So this actually came because I realized me and my partner would be having sex, and bitch, my sex toys and my whole little sex bag is in the closet. So anytime I wanted to kind of add anything, it was a whole pause. Like, I'm trying to look in my closet in the dark because I don't want to turn on the lights and mess up the mood.
Right.
And so I got an end table and I put it by my bed. And literally now on the end table and in the drawer, I have oils because we do massages a lot. I have lotion. I have lubes and wipes. Mm. And then I do just keep either a vibrator or one of my toys that I may want to use. So before he comes over, I normally just make sure everything is set up because it helps not having to ruin the mood by having to go and get lube or having to go and get the condoms.
What are the wipes for?
Just for, we go through a lot of rounds. And so I normally get him a hot towel, but sometimes I'll just lay there.
What a waste, bitch.
I mean, I just use,
sometimes you need a fresh restart.
I like the little wipes. Oh, no. I wipe them all down with a hot towel and all of that.
Bitch.
But also, I wanted to bring up something as well as a household item that is already there. I brought this up on Patreon.
What, Myers?
No.
Yo.
I wanted to give you guys, maybe if you're not, if you're a little bit more vanilla, and you haven't graduated to purchasing one of your sex toys with our code. I don't know if they sponsored this episode yet, though, so I ain't gonna say it. But anyways, if y'all don't have sex toys, one of the things that he's introduced to me and that I've used for the very first time is a pillowcase. And I brought this up on Patreon. He literally, while he was fucking me from behind, he picks up my pillow, and I'm thinking he's gonna fucking suffocate me or nothing, but no, he does not. He picks up the pillow, takes the pillowcase off of my pillow, and kind of twirls it and uses it as a gag in my mouth.
Oh, that's
then
hot.
After
household
he,
item.
This is a household item, bitch. Then after he takes it out of my mouth, he then puts it underneath me to lift me up. So instead of propping me up with
that's
pillows,
hot.
Yes. Now it's
and so you're holding it. Yes.
He's now fucking me like I'm a horse. I am a stallion. You know what I mean?
Did you say? Were you going to say like a horse?
Like a horse. Like, giddy up, bitch.
I like that.
With my motherfucking pillow case.
Now, every time you lay on that motherfucking pillow, you're thinking like,
I done told this nigga, like, I'm doing laundry way too much fucking with y'all.
You may need to add an AKA cowboy-esque kind of. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. fuck with me though. What you got?
I'm trying to think. My writer brain ain't on. I'm just jarred. You said a household item. I was ready.
It
for
is a household item. I was really ready
for like something under the sink. A brush. I don't know what you was going for. I was like,
first off, you missed that whole episode. I done talked about how a nigga didn't have a dildo, so he fucked his ass with the brush,
the handle,
and condom on the top.
With the hand,
yeah,
bro, that was such an old story. And at the time,
because it was one of them wave brushes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yo,
oh, I just thought it's because he didn't want shit on. Sure,
hold on, he put the bristle part in there.
No, but you know it's still wood. The handle.
Now
wood.
That's it, baby.
Okay,
that's way.
Yeah, that's too much. First of all, that's a little thick. We're doing a lot. That's definitely the gap in between the fingers.
But yeah, so I wanted to bring up.
I like that he didn't go for toothbrush. I think that really shows perseverance.
You know what I mean? It shows a little girth, too. You got a little
but
open
you
hole
showed me this video before we even had a podcast. Yeah. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, did he have nothing else in the home?
Maybe not.
Yeah,
but
maybe not.
But niggas don't do much.
He was a struggling college student at the time, so you know.
All you got is your bathroom caddy and stuff.
And
whatever's in there, that's all you got when you're in the dorms.
You put up the toothbrush, the razor, and the.
Did my mom send me in the care package?
I also think he was waiting for his FAFSA to hit. You know what I mean?
Because you know they take forever.
Facts.
Can you imagine? Like he could. Where is he now? He could have OnlyFans now.
I don't know. He's actually. I brought it up. I ended up fucking him, and I stopped. Midway, and I was like, this isn't great. I'll call you Uber to leave. Like, so actually, by the time we did fuck, it just was not good to where I stopped midway and was like, you're not fucking me like the bitches you sent me the videos of me fucking. I'm cool. Like, it just wasn't.
What did he say?
Nothing. I called him an Uber to go.
Was he still there's struggling nothing to be said? Yeah. He couldn't.
I don't. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was just like, you gotta go. Well, he did come to me from Jersey. He was up here visiting from Jersey. So he came and chilled at my crib. And I think I really got upset because he didn't give me no bacon, egg, and cheese, and that's what
I sent him back to Jersey?
Yeah, I sent him back to Jersey. Okay. I was like, you got to go.
I would literally die if you a nigga shot me middle, like, whoa, like, my dick is bleeding, bitch, from that fucking...
No, that's why he didn't tell you.
That's why he ain't tell you,
that's
bitch.
Why, because I'm telling you, that could cripple somebody's like
sweet.
Self-esteem.
I know he loves me, and I love him back. He's a sweet man, and I really cherish him. And I would really appreciate, because my head would have been fucked up if I knew in the middle of us dating that I cut his dick. And I was like, so what did you...
Well, real quick then, can you give us a tip on how you would handle... something going not so well in bed that you didn't like and how you would tell your partner?
Because the fact that he didn't tell me, I was
that's
like,
what I'm saying. So how would
I
you
was just
go
so
about?
Embarrassed, you know, hearing it now. To be fair, no, I don't think he could have told me in the moment because I probably would have been like too fucked up. But he absolutely should have told me. He shouldn't have told me now, bro.
Now you ain't even got no way to fix it, huh? He just gonna remember you as making his dick bleed
teeth. Right, you know what I'm saying? Nah, like, this was a year ago.
Your legacy is set.
Like, one, you don't... Nah, but I'm sure you came back from O.
Okay.
Bro. I mean, I just
that means he really like you.
Or maybe you made him bleed the last.
I don't need the nigga to like me. It's still a good dick suck. Cause I asked, right? I was so like upset about this. I was like, so it was really that bad? And he was like, no, it was good. It's just like you got too into it.
You made me bleed.
And your teeth came
I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't never gone to the nail salon and been like, oh, she did my nails good. As soon as the bitch made me bleed, I hate everything she did.
Oh my God.
Bitch, if you nick my motherfucking nails, I don't care how good you laid this rhinestone.
This is not good. This is not good.
And I need my money back because you made me bleed.
I'm not
paying. You know what else he told me though? He said he didn't want to tell me because he knew I would start thinking about it when I was sucking dick.
Yep.
He's like, I didn't want you to be doing it and be like,
he
thinking
wanted you
too
to
much.
Think you was a legend.
No, he knows
I won this fair and square.
But for me, do you have a tip? One, I wouldn't do it in the bedroom.
Okay.
So I wouldn't do it like while in bed or do it before sex because I think that would have put that in my head. But if he would have told me while we were out and like made a comment about it somewhere else, just outside, I think I would have handled it better.
So
but
it,
like,
it needs to be a lighthearted like mention, not like, hey, babe, let's talk real quick.
While
like,
y'all at Shake Shack ordering fries, be like,
about this head game.
Only
because
I'm really sensitive. And he's right. He's like, you would have been sucking dick scared forever.
Yeah. Oh,
so are you scared now?
Fuck no. Oh,
okay. So,
I do.
Look. She said, I'm going to take these.
Wrap them lips around.
Maybe I need to add my Invisalign back in.
So Red, let's get a sex tip from you. What sex tip do you have? And please let us know if it applies to the men or the women since you're privy with both.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about giving head, I'll stay on that track. Hell. And this is for men and women. When you're giving head, don't be afraid to choke. On the dick.
See, no, and this is
like, don't be afraid to choke on it. Like, a little gag is actually sexy. Like, it's
great.
Because for a lot of men specifically, you know, sex has a lot to do with like a power. It's like a power thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like to know that somebody is like gagging on your shit, like, that's really hot. And it's for the fucking turned dick, guys. On. And I would say, if you're afraid, like, some people say, oh no, I don't want to throw up or whatever. Don't eat within the hour of fucking somebody.
Okay.
You know, and before you suck them, because then it should be all down. You know, you should be good. But again,
I ain't dying on the dick. I ain't gonna lie. I hate gagging, but I'm also more dumb. Yeah. And I feel like the gag is me in a submissive state. Now I feel like I can't take the dick, and I really can't.
But you'll never get better until you get past that point where you, because people be trying to put this much dick in, and they be like, oh, I can't, like,
I ain't gonna be mad. Put this shit in your mouth. I even be brushing my teeth and be mad that I can't brush my teeth. I be like, what type of weak bitch am I gagging with a toothbrush? I swear to God, I be so fed up with my motherfucking self.
That's
hilarious. I want to show you guys this video. I don't know if anyone has seen it, but I want to know if y'all think this is spit.
Here we go.
Or throw
She
up.
Loves the visuals. Oh. I'm not watching.
Have you seen?
I'm not watching.
I think it's spit.
No, you think it's throw up.
There's no color.
It's disgusting.
Oh, that right there?
Uh-huh.
That's spit.
Right? But the...
It's a lot.
She ate Reese's Pieces before.
No, but
Reese's Pieces will give you... Reese's Pieces will give you...
But is it really spit? That's almost too much.
Well, it's like when you gag, you know, something comes up. Like,
it's gag mucus, yeah, for sure. Hey guys, before we get to this week's horrible decision, we gonna go ahead and let y'all know who brought us this motherfucking episode. Of course, it was Charlamagne and iHeartMedia, but also Adam and Eve. Thank you, Adam and Eve, for sponsoring this week's episode. And for our listeners, per usual, we are bringing y'all the goodies. That's right. Adam and Eve says the best part of staying at home is playing at home. So take advantage of the downtime and choose almost any one item on the site for 50% off. Not sure if you guys follow the Instagram page, but there is a ankle to wrist harness that I am eyeing, and my partner wants to try it on me, and I am scared for heaven's sake, but I'm going to be able to get 50% off using our promo code WD50. If you want that same discount, go on over to adamandeve.com and remember to use our offer code WD50 to save 50% off almost any one item. When you do, you will also get free shipping. Also remember, delivery comes discreetly right to your door, so your neighbors don't have to know how much of a goddamn freak you are. Wheezy, who else sponsored this week's episode?
Do you need to take a break from that inbox? Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Ugh, I don't know how old you are, but who goes on there? My point is, we got to use our phones for some other shit. And right now, you're probably using it to listen to horrible decisions. However, you could be using it when you're done with this episode to get a little me time and recharge with Dipsy, baby. It's going to help you focus on something way more pleasurable than whatever it is on your to-do list. It's an audio app, not music, full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are going to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself, if you know what I'm saying, baby. Now, there's something for everybody. Who and whatever you're into, they add new content every week. You can find stories about a spontaneous hookup with a hot stranger, trying a new toy, getting tied up. Now, sounds like horrible decisions, no? But y'all be complaining, Mandy, Wheezy, how come it's only an hour? Because we ain't got all the shit Dipsy got, okay? But this year, you need to try a new way of getting turned on after you're done listening to us. So for our listeners, because we're all so nasty, Dipsy is going to offer a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/horrible. That's dipsystories.com/horrible. Now, they also, I want to tell y'all, the guided sessions, I've done guided meditation, but their guided sessions can help you unlock new confidence, gain heightened intimacy with somebody. I would like to try some guided fucking. So I'm about to go to dipsy.com and get my free trial, honey. 30-day free. F is in fucking. R is in relax. E is in fucking for free. Okay, let's get back to the show.
Well, Guys, I'm excited. We are getting into our horrible decision. And for this episode, we are literally asking all things bisexual and black.
Let's go.
Because I think it is easier. And I'll be honest to you. Shout out to our 27 white listeners. I do feel like this is a conversation easier had with the whites. But it's...
I came out of my mom's vagina knowing I was a non-binary.
I mean, I'm just saying, yes. I think it's just, it's an easier conversation in that community. I think a lot of guys, I mean, they play, especially with the frat.
Well, I mean, we know where it stems from. It's the mask complex that black men have, right?
So before we get into literally diving into our questions, I do want you to kind of open up with us about your journey with bisexuality and when you realized or when you came to know that, you know what, I like men and women.
Yeah.
Can you just walk us through that?
So my journey, I'll start with this. I was never a hyper masculine kid, like growing up. Like I was just a regular, I think I was just a regular dude, but I also was in choir. I was like, I ran track, like step team,
how
like stuff
do you
like
now,
that.
By the way?
31.
Okay.
And so I was just kind of like that kid. I didn't want to do the sports that much, you know, until I got the later part of high school. But so people always thought I was like a little soft, like just for that reason, you know, being in the South, not playing sports, not, you know, wearing all the baggy clothes. My parents was not going for that. I was very like preppy, you know, dressed and put together. And so because of that, people were like, oh, you're gay, you're gay. And I was like, I don't like no niggas. Like, that don't got nothing to do with me, you know what I'm saying? So battling that was one thing. I think my first experience with a guy was the summer after high school. It was a friend of mine, and they were on a football team, all that kind of stuff.
Had you been with women first?
Oh, yeah. I started being with women when I was like 11.
Okay.
So I started doing like, you know, mainly oral stuff and stuff like that. And then my first like serious girlfriend, we were each other's first when we were 16.
Okay.
So that was all I knew up until then. So I was like well versed in like sex up until this point. And then my homie, we were just chilling, you know, watching TV, started wrestling and stuff like that as kids.
That's
do.
How all the good points.
Right, as kids do. And then suddenly, you know, I felt like something like grabbing my dick or whatever. And I was like, oh, chill, like, whoa, like too much. And he was like, bet, we stopped. And then maybe like 10, 15 minutes go by and suddenly my basketball shorts are being pulled down and he's like sucking my dick, basically.
Okay.
So I was like, I was stunned at first, but I didn't know what to do because it felt good. But I was like, this ain't right. And so I made him stop and I left. We didn't talk for like, and this was my close friend. We didn't talk for a couple months. And then finally he hit me up and we were like, yeah, that was crazy. We came back over to chill because we were like, it's whatever. And we kind of just picked up where we left off.
Well,
and
now, you said, this isn't right. Does that come from, did you grow up in the church?
Yeah, I grew up.
What views did you have of homosexuality early on?
Right. So growing up in the Bible Belt, religion is a big thing. Baptist, right. Like, that's all I knew. I was in church 5 days a week. You know, I was in the choir. I was in the drill team. I was in everything.
Okay.
Like, and so, yeah, my parents were not feeling that. Like, my grandfather is a pastor. You know, all that stuff. So I never hung around gay people. Like, I didn't know any gay people up until this point.
When you had that experience and you said you guys didn't talk for those couple of months, did you start looking up shit that, like, porn?
I did start looking at porn, like gay porn. And my mom actually saw it one time on the browser and was trying to figure out what it was. And I was like, I don't know what happened. I was just like,
it's spam.
Right? I was like, don't know what happened. Like, I was going through all the motions. But,
I used to hate sharing them little desktops. In
right.
The house.
You know, you had to
with
dial up.
I used to hate
it.
It
was
shit.
The worst.
Oh my God.
Oh my. And I remember my computer almost, it like jammed one time. It almost tried to print something, like an internet page. But the printer was jammed. So it never printed. But then months later, something printed out. And I was like, oh my fucking
well, at
God.
Least you caught that.
Yeah. Right, I caught it. But
like, how much color is it going to use out this printer?
Right. Big old like a whole webpage. But anyway, so a couple months went by. I was looking at a little bit of porn because I was kind of curious. I just liked sex. I thought I had like a sex addiction at first. And I remember just, I got to college and I met my serious girlfriend at the time and we were together. And I was just like, we went on a break. And I started messing with these dudes like from the neighboring school, neighboring university, just because I wasn't trying to deal with nobody by me. I was like, for real DL at this point. Like, I was paranoid. I was like, everybody's watching me, everything I'm doing. And then finally, I was getting real depressed about my sexuality. And I went through this very low period. And I finally told my mom, like, I called her and I was like, yo, I think I'm bisexual, like, dealing with this, blah, 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 just venting.
What was her response?
Her response at first was, you know, well, you know, I love you and, like, we'll get through this, we'll figure it out, are you sure, kind of thing.
Aww.
Later down the line, it was a very different story. We went through a lot of bumps down the road. She's okay. Definitely
your,
coming back around.
Where's your family from again?
My mom's from Mississippi. My dad's from New Jersey, Camden. But we grew up in Arlington, Texas, so right outside of Dallas.
All right.
But yeah, so that was a different thing. So after I told my mom, I was able to tell my girlfriend at the time.
And that's one of the things that we're definitely going to get into once we start asking about dating. So you did tell her when you guys decided to get back together?
Yeah, yeah.
How old were you once we got back together?
I guess I was 18, 19.
Okay.
Yeah, around that.
And so she's the same age?
And no, she's actually 4 years older than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so can you...
I was a freshman, she was a senior.
Can you share what that conversation was like?
It was... Okay, so this was around the time that... And I can't remember what the exact site was, but they were like going through all the campuses and like outing people about stuff. Like, I don't know. There was a whole forum was like, so-and-so is gay or so-and-so
people
had herpes.
So
like going through... It was like a U.S.-wide thing.
Okay.
Like where all the campuses had a site. Yeah, all the colleges had a site. And so anyways, there was a lot of things circulating around like our athletes at our school and all these stuff, people. So I was like... Let me just go, because my name kind of like lingered, but it wasn't my name. It was like, I knew they were talking about me though.
Right.
And I was like, let me just talk to her before something gets out of hand. And like,
that was smart.
And so I told her, and she was like, okay, okay. Like, and then she just had a million questions that she wanted to ask. And we talked about it, and it was actually really, it set me up to be able to tell people going forward in the future.
I love that your first experience with someone that you were dating was that way.
Yeah.
Because Weezy brought it up even early on in the episode where we've seen it now more on TV with Molly, and she was dating someone who came out and just said, hey, yeah, I experimented in college. And there was this whole, her response to it wasn't
right.
That inquisitive, nor was it that accepting. And I think that that is why we do have so many men that remain in the DL.
Exactly.
That's pretty bad. But also, we've had a lot of conversation, and we've wanted to talk about this with a bi man for a long time, about DL culture and like why it exists and things like that. Can you tell us, like, did you have any, first off, like role models or mentors or people to talk to?
No.
About no. So when you talked no. to her, you didn't, did any friends even know?
No.
I'm a
super like me, people think I'm like just open and talk. I do talk about stuff now, but I, in general, I'm a very private person. My parents don't even know things unless I tell them. They don't know who my friends are. Like I'm very, I've just always been that way. So I didn't really have anybody to talk to. I didn't have anybody to run it by first to figure out. So I was just like kind of going off the cuff, like this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I just want to know, what do you want to do? Like, cause I care about you and you say you care about me, but like, what's this mean for us? And so she was very, she was with it, you know, she was with it. She actually, she was the, well, I don't want to say, but no, okay. So she was the first person I actually did anal with. So, uh-oh. So because of that experience, because of like, she was like, well, you have experience with this. Like, I want to know.
But you felt like that led you down the path?
She was like, she wanted to try it. She always wanted to try anal before. And she said, well, you have experience with anal, with other people, like fucking people, that like I want to try it. I want to try it,
and I was this, like, "You gonna get this bussy for real?"
And I said, "Okay, that's fun."
Hello again, it is Melania Trump, and I am taking break for a horrible decision show to tell you about the stock club, the Red Panda stock club. My husband don't like when I promote black people, but this one is very, very good one. Now, y'all have heard me talk about Ian all the time. Every week we're hearing his ads lately. However, the stock club is half off, son. Half off. Markets be going up during election, according to what he said. Actually, I think that's free advice, so take it while you can. But
If you've heard him on our Patreon, if you've heard him on Market Mondays, his podcast with the Earn Your Leisure Boys, or seen him on YouTube, you would know Ian is the fucking truth, bruh. Okay? I don't want to do anything. I'm not reading a chart. I'm not doing shit. When they go green, they go red. I don't fucking know. I'm just listening to Ian. If you join his Red Panda Stock Club, you're going to see all of the Zoom calls that he does, all of the video tutorials that he has, what stocks to invest in to secure your future, what stocks to sell at what price, when to get in. When the markets are down, he'll coddle you to bed and tell you what to buy and not to freak out. Trust me, it is time for us all to secure the bag. This is my passive income, y'all, is being a part of Ian's Stock Club. And I am with gratitude telling you guys that I am so happy he is giving half off to our listeners. So click the link in our show notes. It's not a code. It's a direct link that will take you to the Half Off Price Stock Club. If you feel like you need to get to know Ian a little more, check it out for yourself. Listen in, listen to him, watch him, fuck with him. He's one of my favorites at The Master Investor on Instagram if you want to stalk him because he's cute. If not, just join the stock club. He's black. He's great. We're about it, and he's for us. Enjoy the show, bitches. What about, like, I'm curious, did you, or even with girlfriends now or girls you date, do you see that there's insecurity with them with, like, feeling like they can't compete? Absolutely.
Does
it happen with men or
it's
no?
It's exhausting. Well, not as much with men. There is definitely an insecurity on both sides. I think it's a lot easier to date men.
Yeah.
Because of that level of insecurity. I think men, there's kind of like, okay, you're bi, yeah, but they think they're like, you're gay. Like, it's fine. They're not really worried about it that much.
Especially if you sitting here saying they suck better dick.
Right, you like fucking like, with me, it's fine. But women, it's kind of like, it's not just convincing them that it's okay. Because for one, they always say, well, they have something I can't give you. You know, they have a dick I can't give you.
That was one of the
questions. And it's like, okay, I get that, but I'm choosing to be with you. So, like, you have everything that I need. You know what I'm saying?
I want to ask, real quick, because it's going with what he's saying. Someone actually asked that question. And the question is, do you need different things from men than you do from women? And do you feel that being a bisexual man, one of these people can actually fulfill you?
I think there are aspects of each gender that appeal to me. I think at a base level, there are certain things that I want from a human being. And like, that's how I look at the sexuality thing. It's like, I'm vibing with a soul. I'm vibing with a person. And that's what I'm going for. As far as sexually, yeah, there's certain things like the more feminine side of women, but I don't necessarily want that for the men that I'm dating. And I've kind of come to a point where I don't know if I totally subscribe to monogamy at this point. Because of that, me personally, I know there's a lot of bisexual people that are totally, you know, good with monogamy. They're with one person and they love it. And I want to be with one person emotionally, but sexually, I know that I like to experience more than one person. More than one person.
As someone who's bi, for myself, like, I had a throuple, which I felt like was like the best thing, right?
Before.
Yeah. Were you in a throuple with a man and a woman?
I was in a throuple with two men.
Now,
yeah.
Okay.
For the future, right? Like, you mentioned one person emotionally, which I think I would want for myself. Do you think you could handle a throuple with a man and a woman?
It depends on them. Like, because it's a maturity level. It's like how you relate to jealousy. It's how you see yourself, self-esteem, and things like that go into a lot of it. And it's really about, it's like a chemistry project, like getting three people on, you know, three different mindsets to come together and say, this is what we're doing, and understand that every relationship is going to be different. Like, my relationship with you and my relationship with you is going to be totally different.
Right.
And we're going to spend different levels of relationship together. But, like, I can't say, oh, well, that has something to do with me.
What's ideal for you if you had to paint it? And even if it's not something that you could, like, where do you see yourself when you think about it?
That's something I think about all the time. Yeah.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure. Sometimes I say, like, I might just need to be single. Like, and like, go have a baby and like have my kids. Cause I want kids.
Right.
And stuff like that. But I don't know.
So a lot of people do, like, what you're saying, and it's crazy because we kind of have gone through it too as being women who identify as bisexual. A lot of people either view you as confused, greedy, or even in this realm, poly. So a lot of times, and someone
which is
actually
totally
had
different,
that. But do you associate being bisexual with being poly? because kind of like, and even what we say, I know I've talked about often wanting to be in a swinger type of couple. Mm-hmm. She's been in a throuple and also open. And you're saying you've been in a throuple and yeah. also want yeah. both. Do you feel like they're one and the same?
I feel like it's conducive to that. Like it makes right. it makes sense why they would go together, but it's not a have to. It's not an end all be all for people. Like there are people that still just want to be with one person. You know, okay. and poly's are like a lifestyle, you
it
know?
It is a lifestyle.
One person's also.
It's not just like, right, it's not just one time.
Lifestyle. I hate that fucking word.
Well, yeah, but it is. It's not just like, oh, I go have a threesome and a foursome one time.
When people tell me they're in the lifestyle, I'm like, oh my God, just say you're fucking free. Like,
So here's my question. We talked about this often as well. And of course, just amongst the sexuality spectrum. When you're dating.
Yeah.
Because you date men and women, how early do you disclose that you're bisexual?
Yeah, so, okay, so.
With Can I men, guess?
Go ahead.
With men off the top. It could be easy as shit.
Yeah.
With women,
you got to feel them out, yeah. see how open they are. Like
I got to see if they're feeling me first. Like, I always tell them before we have sex.
Okay.
So that's okay. kind of like my hard line is like before we have sex, and that could be.
Why do you
could
make be, that choice?
Because I feel like.
Wait, bitch, y'all in bed? And then you'd be like, by the way, I'm bisexual.
No. It's like you kind of get a vibe. Like if you're at a dinner or whatever, you kind of know where it's leading, like the night is leading. So gotcha. I might bring it up and just say, hey, how do you feel about this? Or have you had any experiences around it? Like, and kind of segue it into there, you know, to get. But it's always a nervous conversation to have just because you never know how they're going to react. And if it's somebody you've been talking to for a minute, you don't want them to be upset. You don't want them to see you some kind of way. But like, you also want them to know the real, you know? And so
right.
I want to get that out the way off jump because I don't want to spend 3 months or whatever trying to like get to know you and make things pop. What? And then suddenly you're like, oh, I could never do that.
What
I
kind
could
of
never
dating apps
that.
Do you use?
I don't really use dating apps.
You haven't ever?
Have you seen his Instagram? They probably just slide up in a DM.
Well, I'm curious
that is
because
like a, I'm going to say that is like a dating app.
Because if Instagram. You, it can be, but I'm curious to know because if like, if you did, have you just used like a gay dating app if it was for men or when you were on Tinder, did you use both?
So I use.
Because I had both on.
I jumped on Tinder before, but it was like passively. It was like for like a month and a half or two. I just wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just looking for women at that point. Like,
Who do you feel more emotionally connected to from your experiences? Do you feel
I think women. Fulfilled? Yeah. I like that. I like the nurturing. Like I like that. I love that. Like softness, just like the motherly type of feeling like that they want to embrace and bring you in. And I'm not super outwardly emotional. And so I like people who are and like because they kind of like coax me out of it a little bit. Like if I'm with somebody stone faced like me, we're just going to be looking at each other.
Do you see yourself generally, like, if you could think back in relationships, are you more mask with women or do you play the same role?
I was just going to go into the masculine feminine.
I'm definitely, because how I was raised and, like, how my dad taught me, like, this is how to be a man kind of thing. Like,
type of thing?
And being in the South. But yeah, it's like I'm super chivalrous, opening doors, all that kind of stuff. And, like, I really cater to the women and, like, make sure they have a great experience. Like, all that kind of stuff. But I do... Some of the best relationships with women are the ones where I was able to just let my hair down, kind of, and like just be comfortable because like I'm a former ballet modern dancer. I used to date a dancer as well, and our vibe because she is exposed to gay men all right. the time. The dynamic's different. She's not expecting me to be hyper masculine. So like,
that was actually one of the questions asked. If as a bisexual man, how you behave, does it change around women when you're around gay men?
It actually changes based off the individual because even with men, you know, you have more feminine men, you have more masculine men. And so I tend to be a more dominant person in general. And I tend to date a little bit more feminine men. Okay. Not super femme, not makeup and stuff like that.
Are you topping? Most of the time, do you ever switch?
I'm verse, but
I don't think there's really any more true tops.
Right. I'm verse, so, but I'm mostly top. But
how would you feel about, or could you not do it because it's a woman? How would you feel about pegging?
Yeah, I thought about that. I don't think I could do it.
Why couldn't you? Really? See, because I love this conversation because this is also, like I said, it's been
people
brought
are
up.
Assuming
people,
you would
people
do it.
But people also assume that as a man, if you're taking a strap from a woman, you may as well take a real dick.
Right.
So I love the fact that as a bisexual man who, you know, has taken dick, you like, I'm good on the
Yeah, pain. It's not the same. Okay. It's not the same.
I mean, but my stroke game is good.
I mean, I believe you. You know, I believe you got that. But you know
what, no, I'll give you that because, like, when I've had a strap used on me from a woman, I'm just like,
it's not the same.
It's fun.
It's fun.
And, again, I think for me, it goes back to that, like, power dynamic. Like, it's like, I would feel totally emasculated, like, by a woman, like, fucking me like that. Now, I do actually like, like somewhat aggressive women, so like I love when women like choke me or like okay. all that kind of shit. Like that is kind of hot for
this
me.
Is such but like an to bend
me over,
point.
Like to bend me over, and like I don't know. That's just like a really feminine dude like trying to climb my back. Like that's not happening.
So basically, in your mind, you like happening. This bitch ain't about to bend me over. Yeah, but this nigga can.
It's like if you're masculine enough, and like you're dominant enough to be, if you're more dominant than I am. You can make that work. Crazy, if you're not convincing me, we're not, like, you're turned, bend the fuck
what's
over.
Your, what's your he's type for
in,
women, then?
He's bringing
what's
in the what? Feminine aspect,
What's
though?
Your type of woman? Like, normally, what's your type?
Normally, they're short, bright skin, normally just being from the South.
Mandy.
But, right. I'm an ass man, so I love a fat ass. And they're usually, like, more... I don't want to say submissive, but they're usually a little bit quieter. They're not like
reserved.
They're not like rowdy rimbucks. Just
never
like
mind. Took
they're
me
very
right
like.
What
bring
about
home
your
mama? Like your type of,
oh, okay.
Like yeah, that vibe.
To me, what studious, you described like, is like ideal girl. So like for me, I think I pick men and women based off of that as well.
Mm.
I think a lot of bi friends I have do the same. Men especially.
I can see that.
They'll talk about the woman that they like being with being like smaller, more petite, like kind of girly, flirty, and the dude being like broader shoulders, super built, whatever. Like, do you like height? Like, what is it your thing for men then?
For men, that changes because I'm versed. So if they're a top, I want them obviously to be like bigger than me. Like broad shoulders, everybody I want to be athletic and fit, and that's I just like that aesthetic.
Same.
For myself. I like people that like care about their body and work on it. But if I'm topping, then I like they can be smaller, they can be thin, you know, a little bit of booty, like
weird.
So it ain't gotta be like
one of the questions that
it's
got
all
asked,
over the place. With,
if you're having like you're versing, you are having sex with women, but you also don't like to be dommed by women. Have you ever had sex with a woman and been thinking about a man? Or vice versa. Have you ever had sex with a man and you've thought about being a woman?
I've definitely both. Yes.
Okay.
It's definitely happened. And I don't think it was like necessarily intentional unless we were getting to the point where it was like, okay, this is not like maybe the sex wasn't that great and I'm like trying to get through it. Like, so I started thinking about something that was really good. And it may just happen to be the opposite sex or at the time, you know, that I'm referencing.
When it comes to women, like you... have talked about good experience. What's been your worst experience that someone's like, has anyone ever made you feel like shit for being bi or
college? Hell yeah. I've definitely had women like flat out just like turn me down. Just like, oh no, you're cute, but like you that gay shit. Like I don't, and I'm like, I can't fault you. Like okay. Do what you want to do, whatever. But I've had a girl like tear into me. Like you ain't shit. Yo gay ass. Like going all, and like loud. Like we were like at a restaurant. And I was like, first of all, I'm not a public arguer or anything to the, you know, I'm just very quiet and calm. And so I just like got up. I just like left because I was like, this is some bullshit. So like,
and you said your first experience with opening up to your girlfriend went well. Your mom kind of took it well in the beginning.
Yeah.
Before we get into the whole mail and wrap everything up, do you have any advice for any men listening to this and what you would tell them as far as how to navigate their bisexuality?
Yeah, I would say, and I want to start here because, you know, people talk about like being DL and bisexual and how they kind of conflate the two. And I would say definitely there was a period that a lot of bisexual people do go through a DL period because they're afraid, you know, but it's because of society does not allow people to be who they are authentically. Mm-hmm. And so they feel like they have to hide it. But I would say, you know, because with that comes a lot of paranoia. Like, people are not checking for you like that. Like, they're not looking at you that hard. Like, relax, take a deep breath, and, like, live for you. Because at the end of the day, you got one life. Nobody else is going to live it for you. And that's you don't want to have regrets. And honestly, the more open I got about my sexuality, the easier it was for me to breathe in life. Like, it was just because I knew where I stood. And I was very clear about it. And so what anybody else had to say, I was like, okay. Like, that's, are you trying to fuck me? Or, like, What are we doing? Because right. if you're not, we don't need, what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, what are we talking about?
I like that. Oh, that's realness.
So,
you know what yeah. I mean? I'm like, ooh, keep talking. But I do like it because I think it is easier or more acceptable for women to be bisexual Absolutely. Than men. But also for a lot of the women listening, I guess this is where you guys listen to this show a lot and open up your minds about kinks. I love seeing the tweets that
they all nothing, about to look him up.
That nothing surprises y'all now because we've talked about all of these kinks, but I think sexuality needs to be a part of that. And I think that this is where as women, we can help alleviate the paranoia or even the DL community with a lot of our own brothers who are afraid to come yeah. out about being bisexual.
The thing yeah. about that, like with what, so with women, it's like I have a lot of friends who are like, oh, yeah, no, we accept you. We love that. Yeah, look at this guy. Like, they're always like, they're very into it. But if they were to say, oh, this guy's trying to talk to me, but he's about, they would not be for it. Like, they're not feeling it at all. Like, they're very like tearing them down kind of that way. But they think I'm the exception, right? Because I'm their friend. It's like, you can't just be choosy. And I think in the black community, oh, no, we do that a lot.
I was about to say, that's like, saying no, I have a Shaquita's black friend, cool. So.
Like, I work with her, she's yeah. good, but you, not you, niggas.
You know what I mean?
It's yeah, so it's kind of the same. So it's like, you don't.
Do you align that with homosexuality? Like,
I just had that question in my head. Like, I was like, can you be kind of homosexual? I mean, no, kind of like homophobic.
Can you be kind of racist? No,
like,
no, racist.
Like, you can't. And so I was like, damn, that, because that knocks off a lot of people in my life who are like choosy with me, but like, damn, like,
but
damn to
I
other
wouldn't
people,
also believe so. Them because there's a lot of things that they'll say that they're accepting of or okay with in front of your face, but they'll be right there to keep
now, that's true.
With whoever's talking about people that are essentially a part of your
because
community.
It, also that's they're true. Worried about what it makes them look like, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
They're like, oh, now like you're dating a guy who's this. I mean, where do we just see this? What show was it where she was someone's beard? Was it The Politician?
Oh, I don't know.
Mm. It might have been The Politician on Netflix. There's
or
so
Billions. I feel like Billions being into that.
Maybe that. And it's like they're terrified to fucking, you know, women are embarrassed too about that shit.
Yeah.
Final question before we get into home mail. Who you got more under your belt?
Well, at this point, men.
They're just easier, huh?
Men are so easy, literally, bro. Getting dick is the easiest
look,
thing out
if
here.
You go on, if you go on an app or Instagram or Facebook, anywhere, and you message, message a guy,
we do
like
a social experiment.
Literally, you'd be like, "What's up?" They'd be like,
"Come
chilling, horny." You look at, like it's.
And here goes women.
Three.
You gotta take me out to
you
dinner
to,
first.
Yeah, you have to wine and dine. You have to finesse it. You have to like give them experience.
Do you enjoy that part of that?
I do to a certain extent, but like
sometimes that is one day pussy.
Sometimes I just want to fuck. Like, and it's like sex and emotion are very separate from me. You know, I can just have sex and it doesn't mean anything, but I can also apply emotion to sex and make it something amazing. And I think, you know, women want it to be the two all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just want to fuck sometimes. Like, I don't want to go through all this, like, this left and right. I don't want to take you on three dates and then try to fuck.
I can't
like,
have three.
I mean, we can if I'm feeling you like that. But if I'm just like, damn, you fine. Like, I
and then let's
have
talk about
fun.
The hoes reading the Steve Harvey book and want to put you on three.
Oh,
months.
That's oh, not happening. That's not happening.
You know what I mean?
Lori ain't do that.
Yeah, facts.
I got to be like,
I mean,
really
but
Lori
got an AP, bitch. I might give a little pussy for an AP. I ain't going to hold you.
Give a little pussy.
Give a lot of pussy and a pussy.
Give the whole
pussy. I'll bite your dick.
All right, so guys, today we do not have a whole mail. We have a whole confession from one of our members of the Whore Hive. They say, "Hi guys, I'm a proud member of the Whore Hive and love listening to every episode. This email isn't a question, it's just an appreciation email to thank you guys for your platform. Because of you two, I knew how to mentally prepare myself for getting flown out of the country by a nigga. Let's just say the trip turned out to be trash as this nigga thought he was fucking around with some bitch who isn't used to shit."
Oh, shit.
"There's something about discovering that a nigga ain't shit while you're on a trip that he paid for, but being able to book an early flight home without needing him or his trash ass accommodations. I obviously knew to always bring my own money on any date. But if it weren't for you guys, I wouldn't have been able to chuck the deuces on a nigga under these circumstances without feeling guilty."
Well, we're glad you went to
Tulum. You know what I mean?
Right, right. How was Cancun?
That's right. You're both the best. Keep empowering women to be shameless about hoe activity.
Amen.
All right. And
I take a free trip, but not no trash ass accommodations.
Yeah. I ain't gonna hold you. I'll look to see. I mean, first off, I do need a round trip anywhere regardless.
Yeah.
But I do be liking to make sure I have the itinerary flight change.
Send it
what
to
is
me.
That? I need that information.
Yeah.
Or I've been doing now.
I'll be right on the phone with Delta, like, yes, DL195. Yeah. I cannot get me out of here.
Red, bitch, I know a lot of people, cry. A lot of people who listen to this episode and watching us are going to want to know where to find you. And especially, too, we do have a male audience. So y'all can either slide in them DMs or ask questions. I love just being able to have someone as a resource, especially.
I feel like we'll need a good follow up, like a year from now.
You know what I mean? Like, how much pussy and dick did you get off?
Right.
You
get we'll do a tally mark. Bitch, you know okay.
Bring them on here.
Bring the black book. Or
something. You know what I mean? Bring it on. But go ahead and let our audience know where they can find you.
Bet. You can find me on Instagram at Red the Model. That's REDD the Model.
Double D's like these titties.
Double
baby.
D's. We like them. But yeah, hit me up. I'm always like trying to share new content. I'm trying to get into more, you know, podcast spaces and just get the message out there about bisexuals. You know, we're real. We're out here. And we're trying to live
now
life just like y'all.
Podcast, don't be going trying to snatch up all of our guests now. Shit.
They was like, he said.
No, but
I said, let me follow for these thirst traps.
You know what I mean? Also, guys, if you guys are all caught up with Horrible Decisions and want bonus content, we drop 3 bonus episodes every month. So you guys can join us over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/horrible decisions. You do have to type it in like that all of the way because it's 18 plus and we be posting not our own porns, but I share the porns that I'm watching, and it is 18 plus content. So go ahead and check us out. We are going to leave you guys with a 5-minute bonus clip for that. And also, as y'all know, always be on the lookout, be on the checkout. Follow me everywhere at Full Court Pumps. And also check out, when you're done with this episode, go on over to Period Sis, streaming on all platforms now. Do you want to go ahead and let them know what to check you at?
All those links are in the fucking description.
All right, so go to the description in this episode again if you want to know where to follow Red. And we are leaving you with this bonus clip. This has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Peace.
Peace out.
Because when we communicate what our boundaries and our needs are at certain times,
right?
I'm teaching my partner how I like to care for myself so they know how to care for me. But it's really about communicating it openly. And that's the intimacy that I'm more like focused on, is that we don't have a lot of intimate conversations. Like, you meet somebody and they're like, okay, what did you see the last episode of Game of Thrones? Did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself with a fucking piece of floss? Like, you know, that kind of shit. But people aren't necessarily always talking about what their intimate desires are, what their intimate needs are.
Uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah, uncomfortable conversations.
But I love having those.
But we want to get, yeah, so I want people to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Okay.
Right? So vulnerability, right, is a sense where we're like, oh man, this is unsafe. This is uncomfortable. Intimacy is putting myself in a vulnerable position where I'm like, yeah, but I feel in a container where I feel brave. I feel safe in that spot.
Do you think that your classes are good, or your workshops are good for people that are single?
Yeah. Oh, you get single people. Mm-hmm. You get people who are cruising. They come and they're like, listen, I just want to come to class because I'm looking for some pussy. No, I'm serious. There's a group of people that I like to call Polly for Pussy. And that's pretty much all their interests are.
I like that.
Yeah. Don't steal it.
What
you can use
Polly for Pussy?
Well, Polly for Pussy is like someone who's not really interested in developing meaningful relationships with people, whatever meaningful means.
They should just be in a sex club.
They should just have sex. You know what I mean? But they'll describe themselves as poly, as opposed to saying, I'm a swinger, or I like to have sex with a lot of people. There's nothing wrong with that. So we want to take the stigma away from whatever decisions you make. So
I actually call myself ethically non-monogamous because of that.
Okay. That's a distinction a lot of people use.
Yeah, I it's crazy because I feel like a lot of people don't know how to even self-diagnose themselves that way.
Yeah.
Like, you could have a lot of sex with someone and then get in a relationship, and then you're also the person that's probably going to betray the person you're with because you're cheating. But you people don't know how to openly say, hey, although I like you and I know you want to be with me and I do want to be with you, I also like to have sex with just a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people also don't know how to accept that.
What's your definition of the difference between the both, being poly and non-monogamous?
Well, I think non-monogamy is like an umbrella term. Right. Mm-hmm. So it just means you don't practice monogamy. Right. At least in the current part of your time in your life, you don't practice monogamy. Now, polyamory, which I think is actually a very, very small group of people, because those are people who are developing like actual loving relationships with folks, multiple people, and trying to maintain those relationships.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not necessarily always the easiest thing to do. So it's a lot more challenging. And I think fewer people fall into that category.
I recently did a piece for Refinery 29 about being black and queer.
Uh-huh.
And don't identify as poly. However, for this piece, I identified with every single term that fit with me because they are such an umbrella, which led me to say I am non-monogamous, ethically non-monogamous, polyamorous. I also called myself a hoe. I use the term they, them. I called myself bisexual, queer, pansexual as well, which I don't do on a daily basis, but that's how fitting they were. Like, because a lot of these seem so broad. I'm like, well, pansexual, of course I fuck people for their personalities and not what they look like. But I'm also definitely bisexual because I'm looking at you for your masculinity and women for their femininity. So it's like there's so much shit. I feel like it's so hard to pick your lane sometimes. And I'm curious to know with your polyamory and POC conversations. You said you specialize in that. What are those like for people of color?
So
why do they need something separate?
I try to specialize in it. You know, so it's introducing that conversation on a broader scale is definitely more challenging. I think people of color, especially when they have the experience of living in the U.S., right? So our sexuality is either over-sexualized and fetishized, or it's over-sexualized and demonized, you know? So so the Americas used the black sexuality to outlaw drugs, to create segregation laws,